Blog Talk Radio.
Are you identifying marketing KPIs that the C-suite lights up when you report on them? Can you easily point to metrics that quantify marketing's contribution to revenue dollars? Welcome to this edition of Enterprise Marketing, The Future, the show which focuses on how the future of marketing is about performing real-time, being an agile organization to make the most of evolving opportunities to impact customers and profits. I'm your host, Helene Eichler. Join us to stay up on trends and best practices from marketing thought leaders that fuel organizations' current and future marketing effectiveness. We're excited to have Jessica Miller, Director of Client Services at PR 2020, with us today to discuss marketing KPIs that really matter to the C-suite. Welcome, Jessica. Let's get started.
Thanks, Helene. Good to be here.
Jessica, what do you see as the most critical KPIs that the C-suite focuses on? I mean, we in marketing oftentimes feel like we're on a treadmill, right? We're working on all these activities, but where should the focus be?
Great question to kick it off. I think when you really get into the mindset of the C-suite and think about what they care about the most, it comes down to profitability. So what are the revenues in? What are the expenses out? What areas are of the business are driving growth? And how productive are we? How can we best leverage our resources? Marketing is one of those resources that, you know, really has a seat at the table during this conversation because what we're doing is all about, you know, identifying spend and attributing the resources to, you know, where are customers coming from, which ones are converting, how is marketing working with sales and service to customers on board. So a lot of times I like to think in terms of, you know, cost of customer acquisition. If you can think of, you know, how much it's costing marketing or sales or the company at large to bring those customers in, marketing has a great benchmark to work with, and you can always improve from there or relate the C-suite's direct goals with profitability to that metric. But something to keep in mind, too, is that a lot of times it's hard to say, you know, across the board, these are those three most critical KPIs because of different industry sizes, different vertical markets. It might be a B2B versus a B2C company, which will have completely different kind of marketing metrics that matter most. So I mean, it can vary based on what type of business you are. For one example, if you think of maybe a SaaS company who really cares about recurring revenue, lifetime value, and finding low-cost ways to bring those top customers in on a regular basis, like those might be three different KPIs than a B2B company who has, you know, a longer sales cycle, who's really concerned about that cost of or the value of those contracts and those accounts, and then keeping those customers on for a long time. So you just might shift your marketing metrics accordingly based on the scenario you're in for your organization. Does that make sense?
Definitely, definitely, sure. Now, you spoke about customer acquisition just briefly. How do you think, I mean, we also talk about customer lifetime value, and that kind of plays in, really kind of play together, right? I mean, they do. Mm-hmm. You've got to acquire, but then you want to maximize that customer, right? The profitability. So how are you looking at customer lifetime, you know, value? Do you think that's a key metric?
For sure, especially there's all those stats out there about how losing a customer is, you know, 10 times more work than getting a new customer in. And with a lot of marketing teams, it's been traditionally, you know, just bring in new leads, and then you hand off to sales and service. And from there, you don't really care anymore. But the kind of technology we have today and the integration that we're seeing between marketing, sales, and service and loyalty departments is just you can follow the customer completely. And if you can really track those most loyal, most valuable customers to see what kind of content they consume, what kind of actions and brand experiences they show us, and then replicate that a little earlier in the cycle from then on. The idea there is just more lifetime value quicker. So yeah, definitely one of those top metrics.
And then how can we as marketers verify that we're aligned with these, you know, and tuning into the C-suite and making sure we're planning and working on the right things?
Sure. I think one of the first steps that sometimes gets missed is just asking for, hey, can we see the organizational goals and benchmark data for the upcoming year? Asking about that early in the process, almost pushing your C-suite to get you those numbers that you can then work backward from. Sometimes that's like the first step that we don't always think about. We're in our marketing department, we're thinking about, you know, building brand or bringing in leads, but what if the company is focused on, you know, a specific vertical and they really want to grow in that one niche area? Or what if their new focus is loyalty and, you know, they're seeing a trend with just better profitability for the more loyal clients? You want to shift your marketing direction based on the company direction at large. But yeah, oftentimes we kind of find there's four overarching goals that the C-suite might have and that marketers might have, and it's just really good to prioritize those together. So we group them into the four groups of building brand, generating leads, converting those leads into sales, and then increasing customer loyalty. So really just conversations between the C-suite, the marketing department, the sales department about what's the priority, are resources allocated accordingly to, you know, that priority of goals. It lets the marketing team from there kind of work backward to quantify what's our impact on this overarching goal, and then how can we continually show performance metrics toward the goal as we go throughout the year.
Great. What are some examples? I mean, you've worked with companies, I'm assuming you're obviously a PR firm. Where have you seen, say, some of your clients and examples of this being done successfully?
Sure. Some of the most successful implementations of that really performance-driven culture and performance-driven marketing and executive alignment, I think, come from when you first can really cleanse and trust your data. So companies that take the time to get everyone using the same systems of record, for example, if you have a marketing automation technology, a CRM, anything else like that that might be used differently by a sales team and a marketing team, time to really bring everyone together and get focused on the same reports, the same metrics. And then when you're reporting that, make sure, you know, your CFO is considering those real metrics as well and not reporting something differently. When you kind of have those links to a Salesforce report for the metrics, everyone can see it. Everyone can trust it more than just a number without, you know, where did this come from, or a different number than your sales team might have, which would be the worst case. But yeah, the best implementations we've seen have just been when you focus on cleaning your data and getting people rallied around the same report, then just gaining buy-in across the organization. So within your marketing team, there's different, you know, different departments there. You might have like a content team focused on a different KPI than your customer engagement team. So really figuring out what the KPIs are for folks throughout the organization so everyone feels really invested, how they funnel up to the C-suite KPIs and goals, and then rallying the whole culture kind of around that with performance mentality.
And then where have you seen organizations miss when they've tried to do this but haven't been successful?
Sure. So I guess a few that come to mind. One would be not going back to those bottom line metrics. So the technology exists for us to say, hey, these sales were a direct result of this marketing activity. But oftentimes you still walk into those performance meetings where someone's looking at a release went out and we had so many impressions from putting this over the wire and we also had a customer uptick, so they must be related. When you're not really connecting the dots with a text or a data path, it's often hard to trust the data, and it just doesn't work to build that performance-driven culture. Also, if you're relying on like an attribution model that might not be consistent across teams. So, for example, if your marketing automation is looking at the first source of a customer coming in versus your analytics or your CRM looking at the last source before that conversion, it's just attribution reports are often sometimes messy and require like a lot of time to really set them up and get everyone on the same page. So it seems like sometimes that's a quick way for people to show marketing wins, but if you dig into the numbers, often you'll find there's systems not working on the same page and then people don't trust the data. Other examples, I would say, are just misalignment either among groups. So marketing, sales, and service, they got to be on the same page, or misalignment among your tech. So like we kind of talked about, if you're seeing certain reporting metrics in your automation technology and you're not seeing the same numbers in your CRM, no one's going to really trust the data and rally around there. And then I guess one more point to think about too, as we're focused on all the numbers and all the metrics and all the technology enables, really taking a step back to also get that qualitative customer feedback. Sometimes the best way to tell the story of your data is just by pulling up a customer win, looking at all the touch points they had along their journey, and then really having that powerful quote so the customer is almost telling the story for you. Sometimes we forget about that too.
Right, and in the end, it's all about the customer journey and the customer experience, which is why we're in business and how people are successful. It's true. So wrapping up, what would you say are the top three takeaways you'd like our listeners to learn from our discussion?
Sure. I think your topic kind of hits the nail on the head. Obviously, the C-suite cares about what marketing is doing. They're bought into digital. Their surveys from IBM's C-suite study, and I want to say it's like 79 to 80% of C-suites have digital on the agenda. They want, you know, this digital lifecycle mapped, and they want it measured. And then there's also reports that come out from McKinsey that say, you know, only less than 40% of companies' executives think that there is accountability and metrics in place. So we know what we want. We want to map this digital journey with KPIs. We want to be able to measure everything, but just getting there, there's still a little bit of a gap. So to really merge that gap, I would say it starts with just getting on the same page. What metrics are important to the C-suite, and where does marketing funnel up to that metric? If recurring revenue is important, how are we bringing in new added recurring revenue per month? How are we keeping the recurring revenue there throughout the month? And how does it tally up to those quarterly and annual goals? And then I think for marketers too, the final thing is kind of to really take ownership. Once you have information from your C-suite, you've got a little bit of trust going there, so keep it and build it by regularly reporting and following through just to continually show traction against the metrics that you guys agree are the most important.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for joining us this morning and for a very insightful conversation.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.